This week we had quite a shock in that we learned that Chuck Gorsuch had fallen asleep. Chuck had been introduced to this fellowship through his daughter, Kyla. And Kyla and Alex were coming to fellowship for a little while, and Chuck had been going to other fellowships and had found that they particularly weren't meeting his needs, or maybe they had closed down or whatever. And he was just lonely for the word, lonely for fellowship. And so Kyla invited him to come to fellowship, and he did. And you know what? He never left. Every fellowship that he was in town for, he came to. And if there's one word that I could use to describe Chuck and at least my relationship with him, was that he was faithful. He was faithful to God. He was faithful to his word. And he was faithful to his friends. He was also, did a lot of community work. He was especially active in a program called Computers for Schools, which rehabbed and donated computer equipment to nonprofits and to schools. We actually got some things for our church through that because of what Chuck did. And so of all those things, we go back almost 20 years since that. And Chuck, when we were wanting to put a board together so that we could have better abilities to have meetings and do things for people, I asked for volunteers, and Chuck was the first one to volunteer, even though we really had no good idea of what that really meant and just how much time and work that would involve. But he always was there. He was always volunteering. He was always willing to give of himself and his time. And it was January 1st is actually when his last term on the board ended. And he had lots of plans that he was preparing to do in his retirement. He wanted to travel around the country. He wanted to visit believers. He wanted to see parts of the country that he'd never seen before, and that he wanted to have a chance to get to know. And all of those things kept him very much alive. It gave him a vision and gave him something to work toward. And he was gathering his things together to make that happen. He had bought a motorcycle and a pull behind camper that the motorcycle could pull. And he had bought a tent and all these things that was necessary to be able to do that. And he had a great time doing it, to dream that. So this is teaching is dedicated to Chuck. And I would title it, What Are You Thankful For? And so I looked up the usages that I found of where Paul was thankful to God and what God had done that Paul recognized as something that he should and is or was thankful for. And he was able to record these things in God's Word, especially the epistles. So go to Romans chapter 1, verse 8. So, it says here, first, I love that, first, before we go any further, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that he chose to start out the epistle by going, I thank my God. In the first things I want to talk to you about, after the salutation part, first I want you to understand I am thankful. And thankfulness is really the key to meekness. It's hard to be meek if you aren't thankful. And Paul had an attitude of thankfulness about all the things that he had in his life that God had given him to do and the people that were in it. The people that he was able to witness to and to bring to the Lord and to be able to share God's word with and bring them from a life of darkness and depravity in many cases to one of walking in the light and being God's kids and having love in their life. And this is what he was dedicating his life to. And this is why he was so thankful to God. And the word through is a prepositional word, dia, in the Greek, and it means going through or being channeled as an act, you know. So Jesus Christ was the way that God was being thanked. It was through Jesus Christ, his accomplished works, his person, that Paul was giving thanks to God. Because there was a separation between God and man. There was a gulf. There was a deep and wide because of the acts of Adam, because of the things that Adam did. And that gulf was always there. Until Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the one that built the bridge over that gulf so that all men have access to God. And this is what Chuck loved to tell people about. He loved to tell them about why they can have this connection to God through Jesus Christ. And then he says, for, this is what he's thankful for, what?
You all.
You all. You all. He wasn't thankful for just the ones that were his buddies or the ones that were like him or the ones that were ex-Jews, you know, of the Jewish background. He was thankful for all to God. And that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So they were of such a caliber of believers that the believers in other parts of the world were talking about these guys believing. Isn't that neat? To have that reputation. That they had such great believing that they were able to see the signs, miracles, and wonders that God promised would follow believers. That was the promise. Jesus Christ gave that these signs will follow believers. And so these guys were doing that. These Romans, these believing believers in Romans. But let's read the context too. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always, how?
In my prayers.
He was a praying man. He just didn't do it once a week. He didn't do it just once a day. But every time, he said, every time I make mention of you, I do it when I pray. That's how he was given thanks. Making requests. So this is part of the prayer. Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. And that's what any person who is doing their best to spread the gospel, that's the first thing he needs to make sure of, is that this journey is the will of God. And that not only that it is the will of God, but that God will bless it and cause it to prosper. Right now, we are in the plans and believing to be able for me to be able to go to Venezuela in April. So this is my prayer, that I'm going because God wants me to be there, and I truly believe he does, and that it is prosperous, and that when I go there, that the believers are blessed, and that it isn't just a visit to say, hi, miss you, love you, although that will be a part of it. it is that I might impart some gift unto them, some word that will bless their lives, some heart about God's word and his family, that they might be inspired by it. And truly, I get inspired by them as well. And that makes it prosperous too. For I long to see you. There is a, when you're in the family and you love the family, you like the family. You want to be with them. It isn't like going to a Thanksgiving meal and you have the crazy uncle and the argumentative aunt and the brother or sister that you just can't get along with and you just tolerate it for mom's sake and any of that. None of that. This is, I just miss you and I want to be with you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, firmly rooted, firmly grounded. The wind won't blow you away. The wind, the different winds of doctrine doesn't toss you about. You're fully rooted into the scriptures of what God's word really is and what his will is for us. But that was what Paul's attitude toward the Romans was. That was his heart toward them. So he had a lot to thank God for in his relationship to the Romans. And boy, did he set out a wonderful foundational doctrine in the book of Romans for these guys. And it became not only for the Church of Rome, but it became the foundation for all churches. Because the truth is the truth, and it works for everybody. Paul thanked God all of the time so that we can look to the Word to find out some of the more specific things that he identifies in his thankfulness. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Starting in verse 4. Says, I thank my God how often?
Always.
On your behalf. So when he's praying for them, on their behalf. He has them in his mind when he's praying. But then it identifies what he's praying for. For the what? The grace of God. The grace of God. I'll say it again. The grace of God. It all starts because of that. He loved us, and he extended salvation to us by grace. Because there's not a silly thing that we can do. There's not a monumental thing that we can do that would earn us this great gift, this tremendous grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. Now, this is a different prepositional word, and it is the Greek word en, en, and it denotes a fixed position. All right? So this grace was given by this grace that is in Christ Jesus. This grace that is in here, it says Jesus Christ. It is what he is. It is all in him. It is what he is to us. So that when we call upon his name, this is what we get. Grace. Isn't that great? It's like, have you ever seen the chocolate-covered cherries?
Yeah.
What do you get when you bite into a chocolate-covered cherry? Cherry in the juice, right? Yeah. Well, that kind of is what, that's the mind picture I get, is that when I take that and put it in my mouth, what do I get? Chocolate-covered cherry. So when I take Jesus Christ as my Lord, confessed Romans 10, 9, and 10, what do I get? Grace. That's the grace. Verse 5. That in everything ye are enriched by who? Jesus Christ. In all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in what? No gift, wanting for the coming of our Lord, or waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they got everything there was to get, and they were operating it. When it says that you come behind in no gift, that means you were working it. You were there's nobody that was out manifesting that gift. You guys were really prospering in that and walking by the Spirit. Isn't that great? And it all comes because of Jesus Christ. So Paul was thankful for the grace of God. Kind of gives us some things that we can concentrate on too when we pray. There's all kinds of prayer life that we have. the question that we were talking about in the board meeting yesterday about prayer life, and is our prayers dominated by asking God to fix things? You know, God, can you fix this in my life? God, can you fix that person? God, can you? That's a very small part of what God does. It's a thankfulness, an attitude of thankfulness that we have. So let's go to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verse 18. Now this comes in the section where the Corinthians, this is a reproof epistle, and they had been actually doing a great job at manifesting the Holy Spirit. However, there were some things they were doing wrongly. And so one of the things that they were doing wrongly was that when they were to gather together in a church service, that they would have just somebody stand and speak in tongues. Or maybe just somebody stood and spoke in tongues. And it wasn't really anything being done that could build up the church or edify the church, as is termed in the King James, is that they were doing it out of order. There wasn't a good prophet to when they were speaking in tongues without interpretation. So here he is trying to bring them back. I'm sure he didn't leave town with that unsaid about how to properly operate the manifestations. But they, you know what they did? They forgot what he taught them. Because this is a reproof correction, correct, right? This is a reproof epistle. So you don't reprove somebody on something you have never taught them. Then it's an instruction epistle, okay? If they've never heard this before, it's instruction. Mm-hmm. It's reproof when you've told them the right way to do something and they've decided to ignore that and go off and start doing their own stuff. So he's bringing them back to what he originally taught them. And here he says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. You think that speaking in tongues is great, and it is. And I want to tell you, as great as you think speaking in tongues is, I think it's great, and I am so much think it's great, I speak in tongues more than any of you do. And longer. He'd been in the Word longer than these Corinthians had, right? Years longer. So the point is not he's bragging about the abundance of this manifestation he's operating. He is pointing up the greatness of the speaking in tongues. I'm doing this because it's a great thing. And you're doing it because it's a great thing. But the problem is nobody else knows what the heck you're saying. Let's read the next verse. Verse 19. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding than with my voice I might teach others also that 10,000 words than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So it's more profitable for me to say 5 words of instruction teaching God's word than it is to stand and speak in tongues 10,000 words. See the contrast? So that's why he said, yeah, speaking in tongues is so great. I do it more than you even do it. However, yet, in the church, see, that's where you need to understand the difference is. In the church, because the speaking in tongues cannot be understood unless that person interprets. And that's why we get a manifestation for that purpose. Speaking in tongues with interpretation. So isn't that great?
Yeah.
So, but he's thankful. He's thankful for speaking in tongues. Personally, he's very thankful for speaking in tongues. So should we. Do you realize you're doing a miracle to any five senses man? I know it doesn't qualify as a miracle in the biblical sense and that it's extra special above and beyond what the word guarantees. But you just take out somebody, pick them off the street and say, now speak in a language that you don't know. If they did it, it would be a miracle, wouldn't it? But every time we do it, we prove that we are born again. Not only to the world do we prove this. We do it for ourselves. Have you ever doubted that you might be believing? That your prayers might not be answered? That why isn't this happening right for me? Is my believing lacking? Well, just speak in tongues. That should prove to you right there that you can believe. You believe to speak in tongues. That takes believing. And only believing. And you moving your lips, your tongue, your throat, form the words, and what comes out is what God gives you in another language. That, to me, every time I do it, I'm going, I know I can believe. I can believe to do this. I can believe to do that. I can believe that God will bless me here. I can believe that God will bless Fred there and what he's doing. See, I can believe more and better every time I speak in tongues, if I look at it from that point of view. So, let's go to Philippians chapter 1. I thank my God when? Verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Every remembrance of you. He thanks God. Always in every prayer of mine for you all making request. How?
With joy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I remember one incident that Jeff Wendling was teaching about somebody that had actually harmed their business. And Jeff approaches Brenda and says, I think we just need to pray for him. Remember that? And she says, well, I'll pray at him. I don't think she was praying with joy for this guy. That might have been a little bit too much to ask at the time. But really, when we pray, when he's saying, when I pray and make requests for you, for God to bless you, I have joy in my heart. I have joy in my heart. It brings me joy to pray for you. Verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Chuck had been in this fellowship for 20 years. And every time I would think of him and pray for him, this was how it was for me. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And when will that day be? That's right, when we will see Him face to face. And it did. That Holy Spirit did work effectually in Chuck, as it does in each one of us. And you know what? It's going to work again to get him up. That word is going to work in him to get him up. So when Jesus Christ says, arise, we all get up if we have been in that position to where we have expired and asleep awaiting their return. It's a great way to live. We don't have fear of death, but we do have sorrow when someone who we love, and especially someone as close to us as Chuck, when they are no longer with us. But it isn't like we have sorrow like those people that don't have the hope. For them it is, bye-bye. That's all there is. But for us, there is eternal life. And we'll finish up in Philemon chapter 1. And we'll be in verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Well, that list that he was praying must have been pretty darn long. Because here he's saying he's praying for the Romans every time. He's praying for the Corinthians every time. The Philippians every time he's praying. He's praying for them. And he's praying for Philemon specifically in his prayers. Do you think Paul was a praying man?
Yeah,
he was. He wasn't just blowing smoke here to make them feel good about themselves. This was the truth of who he was and the things that he did. So he makes mention of Philemon always in his prayers. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus, and toward who?
All saints.
You are a blessing and an example. A blessing and an example. And for me, that was Chuck. He was always ready to serve. He was always ready to give, and he was always ready to share his heart, even with the children. Denny Lingo called me and said that his grandchildren are just beside themselves because they love Chuck so much. He spent time with them. He cared about them. He cared about his own grandchildren, but he didn't just limit it to his own family. He showed his love to all. Verse 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So as he was telling people and communicating his faith, it became effectual. It became alive. It became something that people could believe because he was living it. Verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So, I find these verses describes best my heart of thankfulness for what to God for Chuck. Our lives have been refreshed by him. And his example of love will be in my heart for the rest of my days. So, Father, thanks for your love, for your tenderness, and thanks for Chuck's family, and that you'll just bring them comfort and help them understand and make this be a time then they will reflect upon their own lives and what's happening for them and what they can do better for you. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.